and being like, come on, man, fall asleep, close my eyes. And then I'll think, remember when you were 16 and you did this thing? How fucking weird was that? And I'm like, oh, fuck. That's the rest of my night.
Tequila! I don't want to be bummed.
G-Man.
Is there anything for dessert or something?
Oh, Mario. Oh, my God.
Whoa. Hometown Spider-Man.
Yay. I need help with doing a push-up.
This is still going?
Yep.
Fuck.
Testing two. They're inside the house. The children are not safe. The bodies are in the backyard. Time to get really, really low in this chair. Here we go. Oh. Hi, everybody. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in to another week of the GMAT. Podcast. I saw Dune 2 yesterday, and I gotta say, he was a friend of mine was like, come see Dune 2. And I was like, yeah, everyone's already seen this fucking movie. I haven't seen Dune 1, so I did a whole thing where in the morning, or why am I so out of breath?
Smooth transition.
So I watched Dune 1 in the morning. And then in the evening, I went and saw Dune 2, and I gotta be honest, it was good. When I was watching it, I was like, this is fun. I'm enjoying this experience. I like this world. Every time, like, a spaceship came in, or they had some weird, like, sci-fi shot of, like, everything visually was so cool. These soldiers just, like, floating up a mountain. I was like, this is spooky. It's unsettling. It's, like, everything I like about sci-fi. But, man, it was fucking long. It was long as shit. And not like... Like, Killers of the Flower Moon was long, you know? That was a long-ass movie that I just sort of just didn't really enjoy. For the same reason where I was like... There is easily, like, 45 minutes of dialogue I'd be quite happy to cut out of this movie. The same for Dune 2. Now, I liked it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But, like, just also acknowledging that it was very fucking boring at times. There were moments of, like, just some of the most awesome shit I've seen in cinema in a long time. And then there were moments of, like, shut the fuck up. Just blah, 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 blah. I don't know if it's, like, this epic trilogy thing like Lord of the Rings, but I don't remember scenes in Lord of the Rings where I'm like, oh, my God, stop talking. Like, I was interested in the things that they were saying. But in this, I was either not interested or couldn't understand a fucking word they were saying. So, I feel like I need subtitles in every movie I watch now, because every actor's like, you get on there, and you get in that sand, and you're like, I got the last bit, but everything else you just said may as well have been you sneezing, because I can't make it out at all. It was, it was interesting, but I liked it. Don't get me wrong, I liked it. Very fucking Ellie is licking her mort right next to me, and she's getting so into it. Ellie, can just while I'm on camera, could you chillaxicate? She's like, oh yeah, that's the shit right there.
Smooth transition.
Stop. Okay, keep going. Whatever you just do. Hey, listen, partner. It's your rodeo. It's your vag. It's your rodeo. Now I've embarrassed her, and now she's fully stopped. these solo podcasts are such a mess. I haven't done a solo podcast in a long, 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 long time. And they're hard. they're hard. I messaged Ben and Aiden, on like Thursday or Friday. I was like, I'm going to be firing up the mics either Saturday Arvo or Sunday Arvo, whatever, whoever can make it, whenever you can make it. Like, let's do it. And I didn't hear a word from either of them. So I'm like, all right, let's fly in solo and get this shit done. Speaking of bad movies, you know what? Not bad. Dune was good. It was good. It was a good movie. Is it the best fucking thing I've ever seen in the whole fucking world? Is it something I would see multiple times like Aiden has? No. I saw it once. There's no way I could see it. I can't believe Aiden's seen it two times, maybe three times at this point. It's insanity. It's so boring, you guys. Let's be real for a second. It is boring at times. There is a lot of boring stuff in that movie, a lot of boring conversation. And it's, like I said, it's not conversation that I really give a fuck about. It's not conversing for... There's a lot of, like plot things in that movie, upon reflection, where I'm like, either this isn't paying off in this movie, or there was no reason for that. For instance, let me spoil a little something here. So if you really badly want to see this movie... go for it. But this is exactly the same as the originals and the books and everything. So it's not a crazy spoiler. But Austin Butler has a character. Right. So there's in the first movie, there's the Baron. Big bad boy running the planet in charge of managing the resource, the spice, and collecting and exporting and all that sort of stuff. Then he gets almost killed at the end of the first movie. So he appoints his psychopath nephew to take over. And which is Dave Bautista, however you pronounce it. So Dave? Anyways, his nephew takes over, and this is all in the second movie, by the way. So it starts with the nephew taking over, and then in just this movie, the nephew does a bad job, and so he goes, "All right, I'm going to assign my other nephew." And they go to this planet, and it's Austin Butler's character plays the other nephew. And so they're like, "You're good. You're going to come with me." And he comes and he takes over the spice production and management and export and all that sort of shit. And that's Austin Butler's character. He is the other nephew. He comes in, takes over for the one who didn't do a good job, and then dies at the end. He makes himself like the volunteer for the trial by combat ish thing where fucking Timothée Chalamet's like says to the Emperor, "I'm gonna kill you," and he's like, "You fight in instead of me," and that's Austin Butler fights instead of him, gets killed. Goodbye, Austin Butler. But we spent so much time with Austin Butler's character, like seeing how sadistic he is, how sexually complicated and immature he was, and also sexually a sexual massacre, not masochist isn't the right word, but he's a psycho. We spent a lot of time learning about him, and none of that kind of paid off. You know what I mean? That didn't really lead anywhere. There is a lady who is now pregnant with his kid, so maybe that kid will do something in the next movie, but like a lot of stuff revolved around Austin Butler's character that I was like, that didn't seem to go anywhere. You know, what I liked about Dune and Dune 2 and watching, the thing that I liked watching was the way Timothée Chalamet and his mum changed. Like I was there for their degradation and the way that they became sort of what they were trying so hard not to, or at least what Timothée Chalamet's character, Paul, was trying not to be. I enjoyed that bit. I enjoyed watching his journey to essentially kind of a shit cunt. Now, I don't know if he is a shit cunt because he wants to be and he has some massive plan, but by the end of the movie, he is a shit cunt. His girlfriend that he really loves, he's like, "Fuck you," and he goes off with he's going to get together with Florence Pugh. He seems to have no emotional, like he's just totally walled to emotions towards Zendaya and just lets it happen. It's like maybe he has a grand master plan that's going to come together in the third film. I don't know, but I enjoy watching. It's like Breaking Bad. I've enjoyed watching him become what he was trying not to be, which is a fucking like a cult leader, essentially. Anyways, what was I saying? Speaking of Breaking Bad, I've almost finished it. I'm on episode 15 of season 5, which might be the last episode. I'm not sure. But I'll tell you what. I'm like having dreams about being like a drug kingpin. Because his name is Heisenberg, and every time he's Heisenberg, he's got a little hat on, his glasses on, he's like, "Say my name," and you're like, ooh, I just don't know what my thing would be. And I know I'd be given, like, an awful nickname, like, "Say my name." They'd be like, "Wobbles, you're goddamn right." Or like, "Say my name." thickly? You goddamn right.
Smooth transition.
Solo is so hard. This is such a bad podcast. Anyways, June is fine. A lot of like mini plots that just... I'm going to stop talking about June. What I am going to talk about instead is, have you guys seen this damsel on Netflix? Have you heard about this damsel on Netflix, you guys? What the fuck was that? That was a piece of shit. And I have people in my life who are like, that was awesome. What? No, it was terrible. It was some of the worst cinema I've ever seen. It was just... by the way, it opens with Millie Bobby Brown being like, you know those stories you hear about a damsel in distress and a man knight coming to save her and rescue her? This is not that story. Like, it's second I heard that at the start, I was like, oh shit, this is gonna be bad. And it was. And it was just filled top to bottom with like feminist cliches. And I said to myself, there is no way a woman wrote this, because a woman wouldn't write this, because it's all surface level bullshit. And then, of course, you look at the thing and I'm like, written and directed by a man, written by a man, directed by a man, different people. It's awful, you guys. It's not Barbie movie. Feminist overtones, you know. It's not a clever... I know, I never talk shit about the Barbie movie. I said I like the Barbie movie. But when we did the Barbie movie episode, I got in trouble for we didn't take a lot of time to explain that a lot of the shit... Actually, you know what? Yes, we did. We said so many fucking good things about it. Point is, the Barbie movie was great with it, the way it came and attacked the patriarchy and its approach to all the feminist... all the feminist stuff that was going on within the movie. Damsel, no, it was awful. It was just so surface level, so shit, so like on the fucking nose. And that wasn't why it was bad, by the way. That was just enough. That was the thing that made you like break out of the movie and go, oh my god, they're trying so hard to make you go cool. But it's just like it's within the actual context of the film, it's just a movie filled with plot holes, shit that doesn't make sense. Millie Bobby Brown has lip gloss on through the entire film. It's I feel like it's an ad for her makeup brand. It's rough. It's a rough fucking movie. So don't watch it. I wonder what is it on like Rotten Tomatoes? Because if it's higher than like 50%. I'm so scared for the world. 56% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's appropriate. Yeah, I like that. 66% audience score. Fucking hell. Let's have a peek. Let's see what people are saying. Let's see what the people are saying. Let's read audience reviews. They're always the best. The first 35 minutes is good as a setup, but it goes downhill from there. And that's it. Yeah, it is a really good setup for a movie. The setup took a long fucking while, but once they got to the point, I was like, oh, this is a cool idea. Ruined. This is a really strange movie, and I'm not sure who the intended audience is. I think the movie is too scary for preteens, which is who I think the main audience would be. It does have a lot of like some of the deaths are pretty gory. I appreciate the message of female empowerment in the movie, but the film was just way too gruesome for most audiences. It starts off like a fairy tale, you know, something is going to go wrong, but then it becomes almost like a horror movie. Yeah, but the thing, like, with the, like, female empowerment thing, it's, like, great idea, but when you surface level it and you don't think about it too hard, it seems, patronizing, and B, condescending. Does that make sense? I'm hoping that's coming across and I don't just sound like a piece of shit. Barbie movie wasn't that. It wasn't condescending patronizing. This was. It's trash movie with ridiculous outcomes over and over throughout. Complete waste of your time. Well, I'm glad some people are on board. Yeah, people really hate this. Oh, well, I'm really glad. Here's someone who loved it. The fact that the movie is just a fantasy film and the fact that the movie is cliche is what made it surprisingly refreshing and entertaining to watch. In a very positive way, it shows the creator wow, I can't read. I'm so sleepy. It shows the creators of the movie wanting to tell a story about a princess and a dragon. Nothing more, nothing less. You are so fucking stupid, Valentine L. It shows the creators of the movie wanted to tell a story about a princess and a dragon. Nothing more, nothing less. So fucking... It's not a story about a princess and a dragon, you fucking goof. You fucking thud. Anyways, bad movie. Speaking of being too tired to get my fucking thoughts out, I am knackered. I have not been sleeping well this weekend. I've barely gotten any sleep. Ellie's been an absolute dweeb keeping me up. Sorry, I didn't mean to wake. Oh, did I just wake you up then when I said your name? Oh, that must fucking suck. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of like staring at the roof, and that's it. And being like, come on, man, fall asleep, close my eyes, and then I'll think, remember when you were 16 and you did this thing? How fucking weird was that? And I'm like, oh, fuck! That's the rest of my night. Thinking about that one thing I did when I was 21 and letting it haunt my dreams. but I've been enjoying killing time, well, doom scrolling my own comments, because I recently put out a Tomb Raider video, right? It's easily like 15 hours of gameplay in the Tomb Raider remaster. Tomb Raider 1 to 3 remaster. These games came out in the 90s on the PS1. They're classic platforming action Tomb Raider. 15 hours of gameplay that I whittled down to 8 minutes of me going, fuck, shit, like getting angry at the controls. 8 minutes of me getting mad at what is... it's hard to argue that the controls in Tomb Raider are whack, right? Like, that's sort of the point. It's an older game. The control... Here, I'll give you a taste of, like, what I mean.
Why? I pressed X! I pressed it with so much fucking time! I'm hitting it! Why is she not jumping? Grab it! Grab it, Ari, you fucking dumb bitch! Oh.
Modern controls. So that's sort of the energy of the video, you know? But you can't really argue that, like, the controls are fine. Because they're not. It's an older game with crap controls, and that's part of the charm. It's hard. But this is 15 hours of gameplay whittled down to 8 minutes, and the comments have just been like... Hold on, let me... here, this is the most liked comment. This was hard to watch. There's clearly a misunderstanding of how the game works and how to play the game. I don't have nearly as many problems playing it as seen here with the modern controls. You need to use the walk button in this game. She even tells you to do so in the tutorial. Don't just run around on small platforms like a maniac. You need to look at Lara's footing before jumping. You either do a standing jump or a running jump, which requires one square. Take the time to figure out how the game works. They did a patch now and the camera is greatly improved. Before the patch, you could have pressed the... and that's a nice one. People have been like, you clearly... I'm like, I know how the game works. It's 8 minutes of me getting angry out of 15 hours. Of course I'm going to get angry. Have you ever played any classic game on the PS1? The controls are fucky. And sometimes they're not... They don't work. And that's just how it was. But to say it's fine... To say it's like... They're fine. They work perfectly. Bullshit. That's it. You just can't make that argument because it's not true, and you know it's not true. Unfucking believable. I'll try and find a meaner one because I haven't been responding to the mean ones because I'm just like, I just can't. Except one, I just said, shut up. Oh, I'm such a dick. People get frustrated because they are lazy and can't learn new things or can't do them, then blame the controls rather than their own limitations. Like, wow. First of all, it's not a new thing. It's older than I am. So, like, chill. And can't learn. I learned it. But sometimes, even when you know something really well, you make mistakes. And when the mistake is the game and the controls, there's no one to get mad at except the game and the controls. Also, I'm making a video, you fucking goober. Like, it's not... It's content. I'm not just going to go, oh, drat. I'm going to go, oh, fuck, you know. So that it's interesting, you fucking fuckwit. It's why games have been dumbed down so much over the years. There are a few games as hard as these, despite 3 decades of games. Yeah, but they're not hard, bro, friend, guy. They're not hard because they were intended to be hard. They're hard because the game controls don't fucking work. That's the point. They're roughly designed. It's a rough design game. It's not a hard game because that was how they intended it. It's just old games are a little bit harder because the controls aren't as responsive. Gaming wasn't as fine-tuned back then. So, you know, there might be a section where there's like 30 enemies and they didn't mean it for it to be overly complicated, but it just ends up being, and they've gone, oh, that's a mistake, but they can't patch it out or anything like that. That happens constantly. In these older games, the majority, every single time I died in Tomb Raider was because of the controls, was because I pressed X and Lara didn't jump, or I glitched into a wall and fell down, or I was leaning, and it was always because of the game failing. When I played Elden Ring in 2020, or whenever Elden Ring came out, the reason I was dying was because the enemies were difficult. I didn't dodge in time. I didn't parry this attack in time. I jumped off my horse too early and this guy hit me with some magic. Games are fucking hard now because they're meant to be hard. But it's very rare now when you're playing a game that you get fucked up because of the controllers. To the point where when the controls fuck up or the game glitches and it's why I die, you're like, fuck me. But back then, you were like, that was just part of the experience. The game would glitch often and cause you to die, which is what kept happening in Tomb Raider constantly. The camera would glitch when I was stuck in corners. And then these cunts are like, this is why games have been dumbed down. You fucking goober. You boomer goober. I went back and played it yesterday for the first time in 15 years. It's absolutely fine. Shut the front door. You're such a fucking liar. It's absolutely fine. Suck a bag of dicks. Also, you went back and played it. I'd never played Tomb Raider before. This was my first jump into Tomb Raider. And you know what? It wasn't that fucking hard. I was getting through it. But the reason I stopped playing was because it was boring. It was a boring fucking game. And I had no nostalgia attached to it because I could have played it when I was a kid. It was before my time, but it was around. Like, I had a PS1, I could have played it. It just wasn't a game I was interested in playing it. So I had no nostalgia attached to it. So I just took it as it was for the first time ever and went, oh, you know, I got friends who've never played Final Fantasy VII on the PS1, one of the greatest games ever made. If I tried to get them to play it now, they would go, oh, this is a bit whack. This doesn't fuck. I'm not enjoying this. Because they have no nostalgia attached to it. And the fact of the matter is, these are old games. And it's difficult. Not always. This isn't always the case. But a good chunk of the time, if you take a classic, a fantastic older game, not every single one, but a lot of them, and give it to someone now with no nostalgia, no memory, no love to that era attached to it, they'll play it and they'll go, oh, this is crap. Which is unfortunate, but that's the truth. The only the game that I can think of that I recently played that came out when I was young or was either before my time that I wanted to play for the first time was Resident Evil 2 on the PS1. I played it and I enjoyed it, but I don't know. There's not a lot of games like it's going to be rare that that happens. Most of the time, it's going to be someone going, "This is a shit," which is why I don't recommend Final Fantasy VII to, you know, Aiden or Ben or whoever. The fact that you can't press a combination of two buttons and blame the game is good evidence of this. It's just like the fact that you can't press a combination of two buttons. Here's two buttons for you. Fuck and off. You know what? Let's make it three and add a cunt to the end of that one. Jumps were designed with tank controls in mind, and so was the whole game with the grid system. Adding modern controls is like trying to fix a problem that never existed in the first place. Don't hate the game. Hate yourself for adapting. Help yourself for expecting others to adapt to you instead of you adapting to others. Here's the thing, motherfucker. I clicked modern controls because it was in the game. It was there as an option. This, like, don't hate the game. Hate yourself for expecting others. I didn't expect anything. I jumped into the game and played the game. The game that was in front of me. I wasn't like, please, fuck, add modern controls to Tomb Raider. I'm not going to fucking bring it back. I'll fucking sort it. I got into Tomb Raider and it said modern controls, so I clicked it. The fact that I'm playing a game the way it was given to me and someone's still having a go at me for doing that is just fucking absurd. Anyways, who gives an abs? I don't know why I'm so angry at the moment. I got into an argument at the dog park just the other day with this guy like there's people like in the center of the dog park, right? And I'm sitting on the edge with my friend Connie. And there, everyone's in the middle with it. There's probably about six or seven people in there and a plethora of dogs. And when I go to the dog park, I'll walk around the oval because it's a fenced-in oval. I'll walk around a few times with Ellie and then I'll go and sit down and let her do her thing. And she runs around, she goes up, she plays, she chases other dogs around, she gets chased by dogs. She lives her best life and I trust her wholeheartedly. I also trust that if another dog is reactive and goes at her, that she'll back off, which she does every single time, without a doubt. Also, don't bring a reactive dog to a closed-in dog park, you know? Like, I trust that everyone else there is being responsible, and I trust my dog, and it's never been a problem. And I've had this proven 1,000 times where she goes to do something, and then the dog goes, and she goes, okay, I'm going to go away because I'm a pussy. So anyway, she runs into the middle with all these people and the dogs, and there's this guy with a, it was a Dalmatian. And Ellie is like, the Dalmatian is like doing that thing where she's like getting another dog riled up and then runs so the dog will chase her. But the Dalmatian starts sprinting and then immediately flops. And the Dalmatian has so much speed that when it flops, it rolls a few times, like rolls twice or three times. And then another dog will like go on top of it, or either run over it, run power through it, or lie on top of it or whatever. Now, Ellie was doing that, jumping on top of this dog, and this guy was grabbing Ellie by the collar around, you know, around her neck and pulling her off his dog, the Dalmatian. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. Didn't seem like there was a problem. Seemed like they were just playing, you know, how dogs do. Whatever. Dog does the same thing, gets Ellie riled up, goes to run, flops. Ellie jumps on the dog, like on top of her while she's on the ground. The guy grabs her by the collar, pulls Ellie off really hard. And I was like, that's interesting. It would be weird for Ellie to be attacking that dog. She doesn't do that. So not sure what that's about. Anyways, sitting there with Connie, we're both watching and we're noticing that the other dogs around are doing that as well, are jumping on the dog, but he's not pulling the other dogs off. He's just pulling Ellie off. Pulling Ellie off. Anyways, so I was like, that's not on, that's not fresh. I'm gonna let him do it one more time and then I'll go over. And of course he does. Now, at this point, I don't know if I'm in the wrong, I don't know if I'm in the right. All I can tell you is the facts. All the dogs are jumping on his dog, and it all looks like play, but he's pulling Ellie's by the collar pretty hard off the dog. Ellie, just Ellie. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go have a talk to this fucking joker. So I go across the oval, and the way Connie described it is, and I must have had an energy about me because I powered through everybody, like just beeline straight for this guy. Like I wasn't like going around the circle on in and making my way to him. I just walked straight at him through everybody. And what Connie was saying was the circle of people like dispersed and everybody went off different directions. Like they're like, I don't want to be around here for this confrontation. And I didn't think I had confrontation energy, but maybe I did. And I went up to him and I was like, hi, is there a issue with Ellie? And he was like, oh, she's being really dominating. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, he's been dominating. He's like jumping on my dog, and it's just really like trying to control the area. And I was like, I'm like, every other dog here is jumping on your dog. Is she doing something different? And I didn't say it quite that intense. I was like, I mean, every other dog's doing the same thing. Like, is she doing something? I was offering it to him, like, here's your opportunity to like, have an excuse. We don't need to have an argument about this. I'm trying to give you an excuse. I'm like, is she doing something bad? Like, I'm like, is she biting or anything like that? And he goes, is there a problem? Like that. I promise you, it was, is there a problem? And I was like, yeah, there's a little bit of a problem. You seem to be pulling my dog off. I don't know why that's funny to me now. It wasn't then. I was like, you seem to be pulling my dog off for the same thing that other dogs are doing. Like, is she doing something in particular? And he was like, no, it's just everyone else's owner is here monitoring the situation. You're over there doing God knows, he didn't say God knows what. I can't remember what he said, but he was implying that like everyone's here and you're off there being a bad dog dad. And I was like, I'm over there because I trust my dog. My dog knows how to behave. I don't know about your dog. I don't know what the situation here is, but seems like everything's under control except for you pulling my dog off. Well, that's making me laugh so much now, pulling my dog off. I must have used a different phrase when I was talking to this guy. Otherwise, I would have been giggling through this whole argument. And it ended with him being like, look, how about this? You look after your dog and I'll look after mine. I was like, okay. So that was the end of it. But it was, what was the point of that? Oh, yeah, I'm getting angry a lot. I'm getting angry at nothing lately. And it's probably, like I said, the fact that I haven't been sleeping well. And I've been working out so much. I've been going like consistently. Haven't been eating that great, but I have been working out. Ben wrote me a program and that's been loads of fun, but it's, I'm juiced up. I also got mad. Some people know that I played Shrek in Shrek the Musical many years ago. When I say many years, it was like 5 years ago. I played Shrek and the company that I did that with are having this like 10th anniversary concert. So all the shows that they've done from the last 10 years that they've been active, they're doing a number from every show, or like doing a few numbers from each show. And one of the numbers that they're doing is this song from Shrek called Who I'd Be, which is this thing. It's this, I love it. It's this beautiful song. Shrek sings, you know, the first 4 minutes. It's the end of act one. Sings this beautiful song, and then Donkey and Fiona join at the end, and it's just this massive 3-part harmony. That thing where like people sing, I'll show you a fucking
smooth transition.
You know that sort of thing where people are singing like three, like everyone's singing their own little thing, and it just comes together in the end with this beautiful harmony. Beautiful, beautiful fucking song. And it starts off so slow and so nice. Why am I describing this song to you guys? It doesn't matter. Point is, I get to do this song. So then the other day we had a rehearsal, right? And the rehearsal was in Carlton? I think it was Carlton. It was just me and the other two guys who played Fiona and Donkey, which was awesome. In fact, the guy who played Donkey, Bort, has been on the podcast. There's a podcast. If you go back 5 years in the podcast, there was an episode with just him and I just having a chin wag. I was ended up being half an hour late to this rehearsal because I got there and, I will not talk any shit about the protest, but there was a protest happening and that kept me from being able to get where I needed to go, which is fine, you know. The protest was for a good cause, so I tried to be a good person and not be like, fuck it, move! But there was like a little piece of me that was like, this is mutt. And then I'm like, oh, wait, they're protesting because people are dying and it feels wrong to be mad because I can't get to my location in time. So we let that go. We evolve, we adapt, we grow. Barbie movie. But then the thing that was driving me crazy was at the location where I needed to be, I could not find a park at all, and I drove around forever to the point where I called them and I was like, guys, I'm 800 meters from where we need to be and I still can't find a park. So even if I manage to find a park here, I'm going to end up having to walk a kilometer to get back to where we are. I'm going to be 40 minutes late or whatever. And I was driving around and like just everything was making me go like I'd pull up to a park and I think it was empty. And then you drive up further and you see that it's just a smaller car. I was going like, fuck, like screaming in my car, like punching my car door. I'm like, come on! Like really getting really mad. And anyway, across from where he lived was a paid parking thing. So I ended up paying like $25 to park in a multi-level thing. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. That's fine. I'll just park there. I'll just pay $25. I don't give a fuck. Where is this rage coming from? What am I angry about? Everything's good. I have a good life. I got friends, you know. I got cash in my pocket. I got food in my fridge. I got a big fat ass, you know. Some people want to chew on it. It's great. Where's the rage coming from? I need an outlet. You think working out would be the outlet, but that's the working out is just making everything goddamn worse. Do I need therapy? I tell you what. You know what I think I need is a good night's sleep. Is just one good night's sleep, and I'm going to wake up hearing the birds chirp, and I'm going to feel real good about everything. And that's the message for the end of this podcast. Get some snooze, you guys. Go to bed early. Cuddle up with someone you love. Cuddle up with a pillow. Listen to a podcast. Listen to that fucking deep massage, 480 hertz, like whatever those deep sounds are that apparently put you into a deep sleep. Do get a good night's snooze, and we'll see you guys for the next podcast.
Goodbye.
Hey, it's GMAT here from The Real GMAT, and don't forget that if you enjoyed this episode of the GMAT podcast and you want to hear more, we also have the podcast post show, which is available exclusively to our Patreon supporters at patreon.com/GMATpodcasts. The podcast post show is a shorter episode recorded directly after the regular podcast, where we wrap up the episode and talk about the things we didn't have time to talk about. Don't forget to rate this podcast on your podcast app of choice and share it with all of your friends.